Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy. Get your motor
running. Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. Revving up the weekends with news and views on all things motoring.
Yes, welcome one and all to another edition of Fender Bender. My name is Tim Nicholson. I'm very excited to have your company with me today. It is Joy's very own motoring program. And thanks for being with us. And also thanks to the fabulous Pete Dillon with Cravings. He will be back next week at the same wonderful time. So make sure you are tuning in. This is part of Joy's Saturday afternoon, and there's lots more coming up for the rest of the afternoon. So make sure you are stuck to the radio all day. Don't move. Do not move. Speaking of not moving, Dan Gardner, do not move.
on pain of what?
I don't know. I think you just should sit there all day.
Really?
Yes.
I wouldn't mind that. There's worse places to hang out all afternoon.
Well, it's the Joy Studio. There's nothing more fabulous than the Joy Studio, am I
completely
right?
Completely true. And it is lifestyle shows all afternoon.
My God.
You know, we just had the foodie, Pete Dillon.
Yep.
Who has lost 4.5 kilos, I might add.
She's a skinny one, though.
I know. 4.5 kilos in a week.
Yeah,
how do
doing
you do
very
it?
Well. I don't know, but that's fantastic.
I'm going to stick around here for the next hour anyway.
You are, because we're going to talk about cars, I believe.
So much going on.
Oh, look, there's so much going on. Man. Do you know what I mean? We've got a lot coming up on the show. We're going to be talking about something that's not dear to my heart. That's not right. But it's something I'm quite fascinated by. And it's Chinese rip-offs of cars.
Oh, fantastic.
We've seen a few of them, haven't we?
We have, but we haven't seen all of them by a long measure.
There will be more. But you know what? It's not just Chinese car makers that are doing this. There are a number of others, maybe some Koreans, which we'll talk about a little bit later. And we'd love to hear from you as well. If you've seen a car, you're like, why does that look exactly like another car? Then you must let us know, please.
And how do they do that, Tim?
They can email in onair@joy.org.au, or they can text in 0427JOY949.
Or if you're feeling particularly adventurous, you could call the lovely Heath on front desk.
Correct.
On 1300JOY949.
That's absolutely true. You can do a lot of these things.
Why was that creepy voice there then?
Do you know what? It's not even creepy. It's just my voice this week. I've been sick and I sound a little bit like I've smoked 25 packets of Alpine Lights.
This is very specific. This is the first time I've seen you in a week, Tim.
It's weird, isn't it?
Because you've been very unwell. So it's lovely that you're back on 2 feet again.
Thank you so much.
As opposed to 4 feet?
Usually I'm on my back.
Oh, amazing. That's how we like you most.
That's it.
So welcome back from the dead.
Thank you. So I was dead for most of the week, but at the start of the week I went up to the Gold Coast and drove the new Honda Jazz, which I'm going to have a little bit of a chat about later on as well.
Excellent, yeah.
And we're also going to have a look, if we've got time, which hopefully we will, at that little subcompact SUV segment and see what is on offer there and what our picks for people are. Yeah, basically.
Fabulastic.
Fabulastic. Thank you. Thank you. Now let's get straight into it, shall we?
Why not? Let's do it. Some news?
Yeah.
All right. What's been going on, Tim?
So much. Oh, I don't
right.
know.
Next
week. No, I'm just a motoring journalist. I've got no idea. No. Look, this week there's not been a huge amount happening in local news, but we have officially seen the facelifted Ford territory. We've seen Ford have released a couple more pictures of the Falcon that we saw last week, which you talked about on the show, and now we've seen the territory. It's not really a lot
basically
to say, is
all
there?
It has is some slightly different fog lights on the front and some very, very minor changes that I can't even remember right now because they're so forgettable.
And you know what? It probably didn't need that much of a tweak. It's, you know, I think it's quite a handsome looking car, so I think it's fine. You know, maybe they'll sell a few more of them, but all of the money obviously has gone into the Falcon, which we've already talked about, which you're a big fan of.
I really am, actually. Yep. And I was not expecting to like it as much as I did. I really like that global design language that Ford are using at the moment.
Yeah.
I think it's very nice. It's very Aston Martin-esque, which a lot of people have said before.
Well, speaking of ripping things off.
Yes, quite possibly. But no, on the nose of the new Falcon, I think it's really, really lovely. It's sort of bittersweet because, as we said last week, it's the last one.
Yeah.
What we didn't know last week was when the territory was also unveiled, the facelift, they also showed us the new G6e. So last week, I think we'd only seen the XRs.
Yeah, the sporty ones.
Yeah. We've now seen the entry-level nose.
Well, no, and that's the but that's sorry, the luxury one, isn't it?
Yes, sorry, yeah. G6E is the middle, so we haven't actually seen the Boggo yet. Yeah. Yeah, and look, it's very much the same, but it's got a little bit milder styling. So it's got chrome bars in the grille as opposed to that black matte black sort of honeycomb. But it still looks just as good. It's got, you know, every bit the same nose on it, and they're doing a cracking job. I really like it.
I hope people snap it up because it's the, you know, the last of its kind. So I think they'll probably do reasonably well for a while until it peters out.
Yeah. Do you reckon people will grab one because it is the last?
I know for a fact they will, in that my wonderful uncle, when they released the FG, whenever that was, I don't know, 2007 or 8 or something like that, and he went and bought one because he's like, this will be the last Falcon.
Really?
Yep. Absolutely. So there we go. He's since sold it and got a Land Rover Discovery. Whatever, that's fine.
Okay.
And Renault Sport Megane. Whatever. but he did it at
bizarre,
the time.
Bizarre eclectic mix of cars. And what's going on there?
He's an individual. Look, I think a few people will go out there and buy them, but then that'll kind of peak and then it'll peter out.
No.
I would suggest, but, you know, who knows? Who knows, Dan?
There we are.
Now, some other news. We're moving internationally now. The homeland, the motherland.
Oh, really? Really?
Yes, they have announced, well, not they, as a country, not everyone announced it. I think it was just the government. But they have said that by 2015, they're going to allow driverless cars on the roads of England.
Idiots. Absolute idiots.
Morons. Controversial.
Absolutely. I mean, in a word, Tim, absolutely. I am really surprised to hear this.
Why?
Because I like that we're talking about self-driving cars, and you just brought a picture up on that monitor there of a really badly crashed car. Yeah.
Well, that relates to my next point. But
okay,
yes.
Well, no, look, I'm concerned about this because a little while ago we talked about an inherent problem with self-driving cars, and that is to allow them to work properly, you have to build in a type of artificial aggression.
Yeah.
Imagine
right.
the situation, right? So you're merging onto a freeway, and there are people with there are cars with people drivers in them, and your car is a self-driving one. Okay, by our own rules, you should make a machine placid and obedient, because otherwise it'll go ED209 on you and shoot everyone. Okay.
Wow.
All right. So imagine that you're on a slip road, you're trying to merge with people driver cars, and none of them are going to let it. Because you look at the car, you go, that's one of those stupid self-driving things. I'm not letting that in.
Yeah.
And it'll just sit there on the slipway.
For days.
And the only way you can overcome that problem is by making it slightly aggressive. It'll have to say, nah, I'm pulling in here. I'm going to do exactly what a human driver would, and I'm just going to be a little bit aggressive. So what we're looking at here is the only way purely fully autonomous cars from start to finish can work is if they're actually slightly aggressive. And that is a huge problem because we've never willfully made an aggressive machine before. And if in the public environment anyway, if we did, what Pandora's box does that open?
Oh, you are a conspiracy factory, aren't you?
I know, it's great, isn't it?
Nerd.
So, you know, the silly POMs saying that by 2015 they're going to allow legally autonomous cars to be driven on the road, I think this is a can of worms.
Mm.
I'm just happy it's in the wrong hemisphere.
Oh, well. Also, what I find quite funny about this, Dan, is that nobody has produced one yet.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Like, 2015's not the future, it's next year.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a bunch of...
The future.
You know, we've got car makers who have said, you know, a lot of them are working on the technology. We know that. Nissan, Mercedes, a bunch of them. Volvo. They're not going to be ready anytime soon. They're going to be ready... By 2020, I think, is what basically the year that they're all speaking.
Maybe
UK is being advanced and getting ready for it.
I think that's what it is. It is quite modern, forward thinking, and good on them in a way. You know, to have the legislation, they're ready so that there's no hold ups. I mean, it is a typically Australian thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is decide something's a good idea and then realize it's not actually legal yet.
Yeah.
But
look, I think the point you bring up is actually really, really spot on because, and that's why I just don't think you could ever have a fully autonomous car, ever, in the traffic in Melbourne, in the city that we live.
Can you imagine?
Can you imagine?
It just wouldn't work.
Like, I think you're totally right. I think it'd be great for, you know, freeways and things like that. I get it, but I think it's limited.
Yeah.
That's my two cents.
If you could model the behaviour of an autonomous car on the way people drive in Rome, I think you'd be onto an absolute winner.
Yeah, right.
It would work beautifully, but you can't do that.
Yeah, right. Well, even in, like, you know, parts of Southeast Asia and stuff, when I went to Phnom Penh, it's very busy, but everything really flows and everyone's quite polite. You might get tooted at, but it's more of, I'm just behind you, toot, not a get the hell out of my way or else I'm going to get a crowbar out of my boot and come and beat you to death, okay. Like it's what happens in Melbourne.
Yes.
So, too often. Yeah, it's a funny kind of thing, but look, we will obviously...
Interestingly, on just a quick point on the chaos theory, you know when the banks of traffic lights stop working, they go into flash amber?
Flamber.
Yes, the technical term is exactly that, flamber. You know, people just have to sort of fend for themselves and they have to just let people go at certain points, right? They did an experiment in, I think it was in Sweden, where one morning during rush hour, they turned off all the traffic lights and allowed people to sort themselves out. The traffic flowed faster.
No.
Yes.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Isn't that interesting? When you make people manage a situation, it actually works a lot better than when you're just told to follow a rule.
Well, surely you've had that experience before anywhere. Like, you know, when you go somewhere and there's been an accident or something and there are no lights, it generally... It's not super chaotic. And I've experienced it quite a lot in Melbourne. You go somewhere, the lights are out. I don't know. People's generous spirit seems to come out, whereas any other time of day on the road, it seems to not be like that. But people are generally pretty good, pretty well-behaved. So,
it flows into my theory that I reckon... occupied drivers are safer.
Yeah, well,
you know, if when you take responsibility away from them, they become complacent and bored and not concentrating. And that's
not off.
Anyway, we're off onto a completely different tangent.
Well, let's stick with the tangent a little bit because there's been a report come out this week. Apparently, guys, the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, is a little bit scared about driverless cars.
Oh, really?
Yeah, genuine concerns about the that they think that possibly they could be used for terrorism.
Of course.
Well, this is the thing. And they're saying, you know, potentially autonomous cars could be used more frequently as getaway cars in armed robberies. And, you know, that'll allow occupants to you know, reign to bloody return fire on the darn cops like in the movies.
That is hilarious. Can you imagine people bursting out of a bank having just done the place over and into an autonomous car?
I know, a little Google car going at 20 kilometres an hour.
Can you imagine? Yeah. The chaos with the gunshots followed by that quiet little whine as it pulls away silently.
But apparently, it's a genuinely legitimate concern.
I can see exactly why they're concerned about this. Absolutely. I mean, if you pack one of those full of explosives and say, go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No more suicide bombers, just the car that gets blown up. Oh, so, anyway, it's quite interesting.
Google car, the least aggressive looking thing in the world. Deliberately, they designed it to look unaggressive. And
really?
Passive. Precisely, to stop people getting all scared of them.
I want to punch it.
I do too. Yeah, it's an infuriating looking thing, isn't it?
God, we're nice people. Now, we've got a lot more coming up on Fender Bender on Joy 94.9, so what I'll actually get you to do is stick around. You are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. Tim and Dan here with you for another Saturday. It's about 16 minutes past two. We've been talking autonomous cars, but we're going to move right along. We're going to move right along at our own pace, like a autonomous car would.
Oh, you've done better links than that
I
before.
I have, haven't I? Now, Dan Gardner.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Okay, question.
Okay, I like these.
Yeah. So the first 6 months of the year, they're done and dusted. What do you think is the biggest car maker in the world by sales for the first 6 months of the year? And I'm talking like group, car making group.
Oh, difficult. I'm thinking probably Toyota.
You would be right. Boringly, Toyota is the number one car brand. Well, not brand. It's the whole, you know, conglomerate or whatever. For the first 6 months of the year, they have sold 5.1 million cars.
Wow. In 6 months.
Yep. Through the Hino, Toyota, Lexus, and Daihatsu brands.
That is insane.
It is bonkers. But
5 million.
Get this. The Germans are coming, guys.
Yeah?
The Germans are coming big style.
Yes, VW, I'm assuming.
Yes, correct. Great. Volkswagen Group is creeping up its bum really, really closely.
Really?
They are sitting on 4.97 million cars for the first half of the year.
Right, okay, so that really is snapping at the heels, isn't it?
And they've got a lot of brands, obviously, Volkswagen, Audi, what is it, Porsche?
Lamborghini, Bentley.
What are they do trucks and stuff as well.
Good question. They've got a stake in a few.
Right.
But they don't completely own it. Right. They've also got Ducati as well. They've just acquired.
Yeah, I wonder if... I don't think that'd be... Surely that wouldn't be...
No.
But anyway. And look, coming up the rear,
Oh, dear.
In the top three is General Motors, 4.92. So a little bit bit lacking there. So it's chopped and changed quite a bit over the last few years. GM was number one not that long ago. Toyota took over. So it's, I mean, Volkswagen could be the number one car maker in the world. That's controversial, isn't it?
So if you look at the trend, I mean, I suppose that's the way to determine. You'd have to see how Volkswagen has arrived at this point. And if that curve or the line in the graph is continuing, then will it overtake Toyota?
By the end of the year.
Well, there you go. So Toyota's pretty sort of stable in its numbers, whereas Volkswagen is
That's a good 400,000 units behind, though. That's a lot.
Well, it is, but not when you're talking about 5 million.
And especially when you're thinking about China, which they are
very
completely dominant in China. They've got something like six of the top 10 selling cars in China.
Wow.
Yeah. And they're all like, you know, five generations old Passats rebadged as the sale wind or something.
That's
like
right.
That. Yeah, I don't know.
Did
I,
you just make that up?
I did make that up. I'm
that
sorry.
Is a really good... For, on the on pressure
yeah.
to think up of a fake Chinese car name,
the
model.
Sale wind. Well, you will find out soon where it come from. It came from it. There is a reason for it.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Yeah. Good, good. Looking
but anyway,
to this one.
We will keep our eyes on that. Now, we all know Elon Musk.
We sure do.
He is the founder of Tesla. I nearly said Telstra. I hope not.
a bit of a visionary, that guy.
He is. Well, guess what? He is going to be on The Simpsons.
Oh, fantastic.
I love this story. He's going to be on The Simpsons and he's going to play the archenemy or some kind of foe of Montgomery Burns.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that.
That's really good news because it's a way for a human being to become sort of woven into the fabric of history. Anyone who has had their voice on The Simpsons or been a character is that is your mark of success.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter if you've, you know, you're the head of one of the world's most inventive electric car companies. Doesn't matter if you're fabulously wealthy, save lives, or you know, if you're on The Simpsons, you're made.
Totally. I completely agree.
Good man. That's great.
Yeah. So,
but as a villain as well. That's what I really like. Because he's absolutely not a villainesque kind of person. No. However, that character, you know, he could be a really good villain, actually.
I think he'd probably do it quite well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be looking forward to seeing it. I haven't watched Simpsons in a long time, I'm not going to lie to you, but I will probably watch it now.
Yeah.
Just to see him.
Worth it for that alone, I'd say.
I think so. Now, some other... We played Emily Sondé earlier, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Next to... Do you know
There was a reason
there
for this?
There was a reason for it.
What was that?
Well, Dan Gardner, we have seen finally, the production version of the Jaguar XE. But just the nose, really, didn't we?
Yeah, and we've seen it already.
Yeah, so it's not really that exciting.
But that's it is in a way. If you look at this indirectly, it is exciting because it means that the artist's sketch or rendering of the nose, which looked fabulous, looks exactly the same.
It does look exactly the same.
It's the real thing, and that's great because that doesn't happen very often.
No, it doesn't. But I think there's something more exciting, which is there's going to be a sporty model which will make the name of this car a bit unusual. Is that
yes,
right?
Yes, that's right. So in one of the variants of the XE, you can have the same engine as the F-Type S. The XE will take the suffix, naming it, therefore, the XES.
What does that spell backwards?
Well, you can see this is going to be a lot of fun writing about this car.
Oh, how ridiculous, though. Do you think they've thought about it? Well, surely they would have.
Even if they had, they really didn't have much choice. Because if you start mucking around with the S and the R and the, you know, which is on all other Jaguars, then you can upset that logic to the variant naming process. So whether they thought of it or not, they had to do it.
Yeah, that's
true. So, yeah, we've got the XES.
Excellent. Looking for a sexy Jaguar, you might get one very, very soon.
It's going to be... I'm going to really enjoy doing kickers and headlines with that car.
Think
great.
You will.
And that... So, that musician, the English girl...
Oh, Emily Sondé.
Yes,
yeah,
right.
So, they're doing all... I think they're getting, like, brand ambassadors for this car. There's quite a few of them, actually. And I cannot remember. There's some big actors who are doing... Oh, Idris Elba?
Yes.
Who's a very handsome man.
Yeah.
Emily Sondé and someone else. So, I mean, they're just probably getting paid obscene amounts of money. The sister company Land Rover are doing it as well, I think. Is it Land Rover? Somebody's using Will.i.am.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear, oh, dear. I'm not sure I'd do that.
Come on now.
This is exciting stuff because Jaguar has a fair bit of cash since they got taken over by the Indian giant Tata. They've got a lot of money.
Yeah.
And Land Rover, Range Rover also got the same cash owned by the same company.
Yeah.
And look at what's happening to the models. They have gone really, really
It's great.
Highbrow.
Yep.
Now, Jaguar is saying that this XE is going to be worrying BMW 3 Series.
I hope so. I mean, that sounds terrible, but you know.
And if we are to believe what they're saying, they've released, they're drip feeding us with technical information. The car is completely made out of aluminium. 75% of that is recycled. They've got an Ingenium engine, the diesel, which they say will use 4 litres of diesel per 100 kilometres. That is class leading.
Bonkers.
If they come up with the goods, as they say they're going to, this absolutely will worry a 3 Series.
It will, but then, you know, you've got the new C-Class coming out, and that's made half of aluminium. It's a hot-looking thing. It's got a spectacular interior. I mean, that segment is just going to explode. Yeah, the 3 Series dominance as far as, you know, I mean, the C-Class sells more, but a lot of people, I would say, would pick the driver's car to be the 3 Series in that segment.
Yeah, I would say.
And that, you know, it's just about to go even more insane. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's all happening. Now, look, one more thing that happened newsworthy this week, Dan, was they Hyundai have released sketches of the i20, the next generation little light car that's, you know, the Yaris fighter. It, you know, it looks good. I'm sure it'll be great. But it does look like an i30 had sex with a Peugeot 208.
That is a very good description of it indeed. Yeah, they've totally ripped off that front grille.
Of the 208?
Yeah.
It's, I put the photos together. It is identical.
Really?
I think Peugeot's intellectual property lawyers should be,
they'll be all over that,
fairly pissed off about that.
Well, the i20 is still only in sketch form at the moment, so there's still time. They might be able to crash the party a little bit and stop it looking quite so much like it. It is only a sketch at the moment. You know what we're like. Those kind of things change. They morph hugely from the point that sketch is at the moment to when it actually rolls out.
That's true. That's very true. Yeah. So we'll have to wait and see, but it's going to be an interesting one, guys. Which does lead me to my next point, which we will be waiting for after the break. But we are going to have a look at other ripoffs we've seen.
Excellent.
Over the years or in more recent times, and we would love to hear from you. So do stick around. There is a lot more coming up on Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. Oh, you are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. You are hanging out with Tim and Dan, or you were hanging out with Tim and Dan, and we have, the studio has been penetrated, you could say, Dan, couldn't you?
Oh, in the most pleasurable way possible.
It's true. We have been penetrated by one of our favourites, one of the original cast members here on Fender Bender Joy 94.9. Jeremy is back, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you for having me back. I forgot. Where do I talk into?
This big stick down here. The big muff in front of you. How are you? We haven't seen you in so long.
I'm good. I'm tired, but I'm good.
Tired? T-H-A-I? Because you were in Thailand.
Oh, well done, Tim.
You'll see Jeremy's sharp as ever.
You've become more clever since I was here last.
That's sad, really saying something.
So what have you been doing? Everything, literally everything you've been doing in the last year.
Oh, you want to know everything.
From
okay.
the second we last saw you. No. You've been a busy boy, though.
Have been busy.
Around the world.
Living in Thailand and Burma.
Burma?
Burma, yeah. I was in Burma also. I was right on the border there in the dangerous little bit. Ooh. And
you
it
like
was incredible.
Living on the edge, don't you?
I do like to live on the edge. So, yeah, I was there for a while and I came back and since then started an organisation and, yeah, it's time to help some people. So, yeah.
Well, hopefully you will help us for the next little while here. See? I'm so onto it, right?
It's unbelievable.
Now, have you lost your love of cars in your time away?
Not at all. The reason I'm here today is because I'm stealing Dan after the show to go buy a car.
You're going to go buy a car?
Yeah.
Do you need help from us professionals?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's what we're here for.
It is.
Yeah,
sometimes.
It's evolved in about half an hour from, like Dan was saying, from a, you know, low model to the pretty much the highest model.
This is the danger of car shopping as you go out. It's like auctions, you know. You've got to know your limit to go up to. Jeremy came out originally looking for a sensible four-door, and he's now considering a really irresponsible two-door coupe. So I'm very happy, very happy that's the way it's gone.
Yeah, you would be. I knew you'd be excited. Moist, I can see the patch.
Yeah. And look, Jeremy, to me, you've always liked something a little more fancy. I'm not surprised that you're going for this option. I can't see you buying. Why were you thinking about a sensible four-door? What's that about?
Well, I think that came from especially what I've just done in the last year and a half since I was on here last. Having the moral dilemmas of it.
Okay.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah, I don't know what morals are, so I can't help you with that. But
yeah, as my dad once said to me years ago, he said, Dan, you just got to remember that a car is simply a method of getting from A to B. As fast and as stylishly as possible.
He did say that.
Okay,
did he really?
Right, he absolutely said that.
I
love to me,
that. I can justify that now.
Yeah.
Great. Right. Thanks, Dad.
Well, yeah, look, good luck today. Are you, so you've got something in mind?
Yeah, yeah, I think I've found it. I just need Dan as.
Are you allowed to say it out loud?
I can. But I do need Dan's fatherly advice on it.
Oh, dear, dear.
Daddy.
Those two words never been put together before. Dan and fatherly. God, whatever next.
Well, that could be a fetish. But
oh, dear.
I'd be very happy to come and look at this car and give it my tuppence worth.
And so what's the car?
Okay, so it's a 325 CI.
Which is a BMW.
Mm-hmm. BMW.
And when you say CI, so I didn't know what that meant.
Yeah, so if it's just got an I, it means it's a sedan. That's right, isn't it, Dan? I mean, it can also be... you can get them in a wagon.
You can, the Toro, yes.
But as soon as you, if it's a CI, it's a two-door coupe.
Do they always do that?
They stopped it.
Yeah.
Now we have, as you know, they've gone into 3 and 4 series, and so that's the determination between the differentiation rather between coupe and sedan.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's an idea they had a little while ago that they stuck with, and then just decided it was going to be dropped.
I see. Well, that's a bit fancy. Were there any other alternatives? Were you looking at something else, and this is what popped up instead? Or
well, it evolved to that. Okay. So it went from the 318.
Oh, so it was always a BMW?
Yeah. So it's been my little kind of dream car to have for a while.
Okay.
And but it's hard when you do go car shopping. I just get carried away. It's like, oh, what's an extra 1,000 or 5 or...
Yeah. It's too easy to do, isn't it? Yeah. Well, our advice to the listener is, if you're going out shopping, have a limit set in mind. Have exactly what you want in an ideal world and don't go beyond that. However, Jeremy's broken all the rules and that's completely fine with us.
But that's completely
we support it.
In my style, so...
That's all right. Well, look, we will hopefully hear from you in a couple of weeks and find out what you ended up with, because we'd love to know.
Yeah, if I can come back.
All right, well, we'll just have to see you about that. Okay. We're very busy. No, of course. You are welcome back anytime, my friend.
I'm glad the penetration was welcome.
Oh, well.
Gosh.
It was. When isn't it? Let's be honest.
I'm very excited to have you back, and I can't wait for you to be on the show again.
Yeah, same. Absolution. Now, guys, a little bit earlier we were talking about rip-offs, We've all seen them around the traps. Now, one that I did post to our social media page, facebook.com/FenderBenderJoy, a little earlier today, so if you were near a computer, I suggest that you go and look at it immediately. It is basically... So we all know the Land Rover... What is it? The Range Rover Evoque? Range Rover Evoque? Well, there's a new version of that called the Land Wind... See where I got my wind from earlier?
No.
The Land Wind X7, which
is this a radio.
No, it is not. It is a Chinese company which Land Wind, and they have built something called the X7, which also is patented by or that is owned by BMW, who are going to build a 7-seat SUV called the X7, and they have built their own version of the Evoque.
Okay.
And actually, I had to look 6 times at this thing before I was like, no, it's an Evoque. And then I looked at the back of it and I went, no, it is not an Evoque.
Land Wind. I'm still Land stuck on
that. That is incredible.
That must be a Google Translate thing, yeah?
Who knows?
No, Land Wind is a Chinese... there it is. Land Wind is a Chinese SUV maker.
Absolutely amazing. That is fantastic.
Yeah. So it is on the Facebook page. Go and have a look, or just Google Land
exactly
Wind.
It is identical.
Now, the only way this happens is because China are a law unto themselves. Yeah. They are a huge nation, and what happens within the confines of their borders is pretty much their own business, and there's nothing anyone can do about it. Occasionally, a car company will try and contest this and sue them for making a blatant ripoff of a car that's cost many millions to style by the original manufacturer, but it never works because, and this is the problem, Chinese law says that you have to prove that the car looks very similar. Yeah. And because that is the way something looks is a very intangible thing, it goes to court and they just say, no, it doesn't look anything like it.
Really?
And that's the way they get away with it.
That's incredible, isn't
it? Yeah. They say, we don't think it looks anything like it. prove it, and because there is no quantifiable way to say this car on paper looks like that car, it always falls over in court, and that's how they get away with it. They'll never sell them anywhere else in the world, but inside China, their law says, no, that's perfectly all right. Now, there is one very good and easy way of telling this car apart from the other.
How?
Crash it. If you crash in a Chinese copy, 9 times out of 10, everything will explode.
Sugar.
And you will all die. So, if you're thinking of buying a Chinese car, then don't. I can hear the lawsuit ringing already.
Well, look, I would suggest that it may not have the same quality as perhaps a Land Rover Evoque has. I'm glad you gave us that. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you gave us that. You told us about that because I wasn't sure how it works. My partner is an intellectual property lawyer. I probably could have asked him before I came on air. That would have made sense. I was busy eating a pasty.
Who are you going to trust, a qualified and experienced lawyer or me?
Yeah,
come on.
I know. But look, have you guys seen anything in Australia that we can identify as looking like a bit of a rip-off? I can't really kind of think of anything.
Oh, I mean, this, I can see parts that have been pinched off parts. Yeah. Like, I think it was Ford. You could swear the grill was taken from an Aston Martin.
We were just talking about that before. Actually a really interesting one because that's very clear, isn't it?
Yeah.
And they've gotten away with it.
Yes.
Didn't they used to have part ownership of
they
Aston?
Did, yeah.
Do you think there's some kind of...
Quite possibly, yeah. They may have made the switch or started going down that path when they still owned Aston Martin, yeah.
But I think you could maybe tell if it was the same grill. If you crushed it with the Ford, it would break.
Well,
if it was Aston Martin, maybe it won't.
But it's really funny because it's a really clear you know, you could say that it's an homage or whatever. But I think they've done it really well. Like, it looks really good on all of their models, as we were talking about before. With
and
the
also
Falcon.
Chrysler... have a lot of similarities to Bentley.
Oh, like the big...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think.
Okay.
Well, no, it's not quite the same thing, but years ago when Mazda introduced the MX-5, it was a blatant rip-off of the Lotus Elan. But that's kind of a different thing, because that's kind of... although they have no link directly to the company, it was a resurrecting a look of many years before. The Elan was back in the 60s. So yeah, that was obviously a ripoff, but it had the buffer of time in between. Whereas what we're looking at with this Evoque is, it's, you know, the Evoque's still for sale. You can't copy that something's still out there.
Well, and the Chinese car makers are not the only ones that have done it, as we've just found out. But there's also a couple of South Korean makers have done it in the past, generally with models that have either been only sold here very, very briefly, or not here at all. Kia did something that I thought I'd written down, but I clearly have not. And
so just use your imagination
I
for
know,
a moment.
As if I've got that. No, they did something that... Oh, there's a car that is... There's a fake version of the GTR.
Wow.
This is GTR.
It's hard to believe the GTR could get any uglier, but they've done it.
Fake Hummers. Ah, there it is. The Kia Amanti, which looks like a cross between, an early noughties E-Class.
And S-Type Jag.
Yeah, yeah. It is absolutely horrendous. SsangYong had their chairman, which looked like the car, the chairman, not the chairman of the board, that looked like an old E-Class as well. Everyone went for that old E-Class look.
I was
going to
say, if the chairman of your company looks like an old E-Class, you've got big problems.
Issues. But look, it's very strange, and but it's quite a fascinating kind of area to look at, and I'm glad that you've clarified a few things for us today, Dan.
Well, there's a first time for everything, isn't there?
There is. You are listening to Fender Bender Joy 94.9. Please stick around. You're listening to Fender Bender Joy 94.9.
Wow, what was that all
about? You know, I like for people to hear me breathing.
Ooh, is that why you keep ringing me at in the early hours of the morning?
Yeah, that's why.
Oh,
yeah,
okay,
that's why.
I'm assuming it was you.
Yeah.
And you do that too.
I do. You are with Tim and Dan and the wonderful Jeremy here. It's just wonderful to see you across there. I just want to reach out and touch you.
I'd love that.
That might be a little creepy.
I can wait until after the show, but there will be much touching.
It's creepy, this show. So we were just talking about rip-offs. We're going to move right along.
Yeah, okay. I'm over that.
Yeah, we're done.
Yeah, feeling ripped off.
Something that is not a rip-off, something that is quite a good little thing, is the brand new Honda Jazz.
Oh, I thought you called it a Honda Jizz before. I thought it was actually called a Jizz. I was excited. Finally, they just said it.
It's easy to do, isn't it? Mm. It's easy to do when you've got a filthy mind. But it came out this week. The Jazz came out this week. I must say, the only problem I have with that car is that, like in a lot of other markets, it's called the Fit. I think that, you know, a lot of dudes buy
the Fit
light cars now, right? I don't know many. Look, and this is me stereotyping here. I don't know many straight dudes that would go out and buy a Jazz, but if it was called a Fit, I reckon they would. Like, they'd buy a Mazda 2, Fiesta's a little gay as well. But, you know, like, there are cars that are named, I think people would be turned off by the name, and I think Jazz is one of them. Yeah. I think they should have called it a Fit.
Yeah, Fit's quite cute.
I don't know.
I think Fit's really cute as a name.
You're really fit.
There's no doubt. That's very nice. There's no doubt that the power of a name is unquestionable. Yeah. But whether it's enough to get people previously who like masculine things to buy a Jazz. Don't know whether it's quite that powerful or not. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't like to drive anything called a Jazz or a Fit, to be completely honest.
Really?
I just get you to say, I think you're really fit.
I think you're really fit.
Thank you. That's all I wanted to do.
In the slight London accent.
He just wanted the accent.
Yeah.
Look, and that thing is fit. Let me be honest. I'll be honest.
Is it?
Yeah. Look, it's a great little thing. It's got some, you know, really, really quite solid competition in that field. The Mazda 2, which we've driven, even though it's about to be replaced, even if, you know, it's like 6 years old or something, and it's still a really good little car. The Ford Fiesta, which is a fantastic little car, and the little ST that they've got going on. I haven't driven the Yaris. I know Pete Dillon from Cravings is a big fan.
Hey.
I don't know if I would be. But, you know, it has a lot of people that buy it. But that's a really, really kind of busy little segment. And you could do a lot worse than go the Jazz. It might not be as...
What's worse?
In that segment.
What wouldn't you go for?
Well, I don't know. Even like Kia Rio is a great little option in that segment. I don't love the Barina, Holden Barina, I guess. Okay. Yeah, something like that. I think the Jazz is right up there. But... Dynamically, it's not as fun as, like, a Mazda 2. So if you're a bit of an enthusiastic driver and you really kind of want that ride and handling, you'd probably go the Fiesta or the 2 every time, I would suggest, in that field. But if you want a really well-packaged car, we've talked about these magic seats that they've got in this car. It's a pretty stupid, wanky name. But you can configure these seats, all the seats, the front seats, the back seats, 18 different ways. You can flip the back bench up. So you've got this enormous space in the back. So, like, you can put, like, a bunch of pot plants and all this kind of stuff.
Pot plants?
Well.
Of all things.
Well.
Interesting choice there.
I know. Funny that I went there. But you can also, they've got this, not leisure mode or something like that, which you rip the headrests off the front seats, right? And you flatten the front seats out, and they're perfectly flat. So you can... And
you could put your crochet rugs.
You could, because our wonderful...
Perhaps a nice spider plant.
Yeah. Our friend here at Fender Bender, Tony O'Kane, who has been on and will be back on, I'm sure, at some point, he sat in the back seat with his legs up on the front seat in relax mode while I drove him around like some kind of gay chauffeur.
Does that pass ADR? Is that a safety...
Well, I don't know. They do. Well, it's funny you say that because they do say in the pamphlet for the car that when not driving the car, you can put it in this mode. But we just kind of flaunted that a little bit.
Brilliant.
But you know, you go to the darn drive-in. If you can find a drive-in that's still open, you can spread right out in the back. You can put both seats down in the front and the back. Look, I just think there is no other car on the market, full stop, that's packaged like this car. I think it's done really, really well. I think it looks as cute as the button. Yeah. It's got some terrific little colour choices. And I just think it's a great little thing. I think, if you're in the market for a little light car, you should absolutely check it out.
The 2.
Okay, so you're saying you like
The Jazz.
The Jazz.
Okay.
But I'm saying I like it a lot.
Yeah.
Again, it's not the most exciting car to drive, but it doesn't do anything badly. Fuel economy is brilliant. That CVT is actually not bad. Throw it into a corner and it's not going to be as fun as a Mazda 2, which... in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, I can tell you all about because I'm coming back from Japan and I'll be driving the Mazda 2. So I'll be able to kind of compare.
Be sure to take your pot plants, Tim.
For a full
I take
review.
Them everywhere I go.
You get some funny looks in the baggage reclamation where there's...
Yeah. So what are these? Where's my boogie board bag, guys? listen to it.
Now, I know the real reason you like this car.
Tell me.
Do not trust anything this man says.
Oh, you witch.
Where was the launch?
It was on the Gold Coast.
Yes, and what temperature was it?
It's 24.
Yes. Tim only likes the car because he was in summer suddenly when we were all in winter back here. They could have popped you in a bloody wheelbarrow and you would have said it was great.
I did get wheelbarrowed. Oh, hang on. Sorry. No, it's very confusing. Didn't know what you were saying. No, look, yes, it was. It was very pleasant being up there at that time.
I was so jealous.
I know you were. I did take some snaps of obviously the beach that I was walking on at lunchtime. But then I got sick, so it wasn't really that great. You know what I mean?
Stop trying to make it better.
Idiots. Yeah. But now, so you could buy this car, right? Or you could buy, in about a year's time, the Honda HR-V. Remember the HR-V? That boxy little SUV they had in the late 90s? It's back. Mm. And it's based on a Jazz.
Okay.
So, look, it's all a part of this, you know, Nissan Juke Ford Echo Sport, which I think is how you pronounce it.
Oh, stop.
Yeah. Holden Tracks, all that kind of malarkey. Now, I'll ask you boys, would you rather buy like a little hatchback or would you buy like a little tiny, tiny, tiny crossover SUV? And why?
Was a Suzuki, what was it called? A Suzuki...
What is it, SUV or hatchback?
Yeah, SUV.
Jimny?
No. Is that what you're talking in line with that size?
Well, yeah, Jimny's a bit more like you can actually use it off-road.
Okay, whereas so we're talking one that you can't use.
Yeah.
I think I'd go a hatch.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
So would I.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think there's nothing more pointless than an SUV anyway, so let alone give me a small one, which does everything even worse than a normal size one.
Because was it you saying last week, I don't know if it was outside of the studio or inside the studio, about, you know, people like the high ride height of an SUV, but if everyone has one...
Yeah.
There's no advantage.
Precisely. Because, it's the arms race, you know? As soon as someone has a tall, big car, the only way you can enjoy them as much as them on the road is to get one as well.
Yeah.
And it's this constant beat your neighbour that has got to absolutely ridiculous proportions.
I think we should all buy one of those, what are they called? Those Mercedes-Benz home things.
Home things?
Mog? Unimog?
Unimog.
Yeah, that's the next step. We'll all be driving around in darn Unimogs.
That would be fantastic.
It would be a little bit fun. But, I mean, what are the advantages of these cars? I don't think they offer that much more space than a small hatchback.
People who generally, this car appeals a lot to people who like to fall over when they go round a corner.
Well, there's a bit of that. I mean, do we remember the Daihatsu Terios?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yes.
That thing, like it drives down the road and you're like, what is that skinny little witch
like
driving
a cupboard
down the road? It looks so ridiculous, but I mean, the newer ones are obviously a bit wider or whatever, but they kind of have similar proportions, and you look at it and go, skinny little witch of a car.
No, I agree with what Jeremy says, hatchback all the way.
Yeah.
I mean, look, some of them are quite engaging to drive. I had a little Juke, the Nissan Juke, you know, the weird-looking little Juke.
Oh, they look like a frog?
Yes, precisely.
Yeah,
I think that's a terrific little design.
Cool.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing like it on the road.
That's right.
Now, I drove I think it was the all-wheel drive turbo. That was a fun little thing, but... It's like close to $30,000.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
horrendous.
Go out and buy a Ford Fiesta ST.
Now, that's a good idea.
Yeah. But you know what? Everyone's buying these things, aren't they?
It is stupid.
You're really anti, aren't you?
Well, it'd be great to do a census to see who is actually driving them. I want to profile the person.
Well, I would suggest there's a lot of younger kind of buyers, like maybe first-time car buyers, maybe.
Virgins.
They could be. I don't know. Maybe. But also maybe older people buying them because of that high kind of...
older virgins.
You know, they're easy to get into. Or what do you call it? Hip height?
What? Oh, yeah. Yeah, hip height. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, there's probably a bit of that going
for
on.
For decrepit people, guessing.
Okay.
So, by buying an SUV, you're saying that you're...
Accessible.
You're just done with life. That's fine.
Is it about accessibility?
Yes, it always is with you, Jeremy.
Mobility.
Ease of entry.
Yeah. So, basically, what we're saying is we are giving it the thumb down.
The thumb in, I reckon.
Ooh. Ooh. Ooh,
is that all? Only a thumb.
Yeah, that's right. That's all this car gets.
Yeah. So, well, not the whole kit and caboodle of them.
Yes,
we're saying the
segment gets the thumb in.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so go and buy a hatch. Basically, is what we're saying.
Yeah.
That's it. Well, you know what? On that note, shut up. I'm kidding. Hey, Jeremy. It's so good to see you.
So good to see you.
I can't wait for you to be in the studio again, please.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm here
Will you come back? I want this on air.
Yes, I'll be back. The intention is definitely there.
Awesome. Dan, I guess we'll see you soon. No, Dan Gardner, thank you so much as well.
Come on. It's always a pleasure for you, Timbo.
It is, isn't it? Thank you to just the world, basically. Thank you to everyone for listening. Excuse me, as I choke. If you would like to stay in touch, we would love to hear from you. We have a Twitter and a Facebook account page, whatever you want to call it, and the handle is FenderBenderJoy. So do stay in touch because we are just hilarious and we like to post things occasionally onto those things. Other than that, have a wonderful weekend. Stick around, of course. We have got the fabulous boys from Critical Hit all about gaming coming up next, followed by the always gorgeous Hannah with Little Fish. My name is Tim Nicholson, signing off for Fender Bender for another week. Safe driving.
This has been a Fender Bender podcast for Joy 94.9, Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station. See joy.org.au for more details.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.